pray in tongues with more purpose or more frequently this week.
Amen.
Because I did. I respect my wife and her walk with God very much, and she told me that she was inspired to pray in the Spirit more. And sometimes the teacher learns more than the student, and I've always known about just praying in tongues, but just studying and learning and doing it in my own life, trust me, continue, just a reminder of that. Pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, like I said. It's your constant connection to the Lord, okay? I want to continue speaking on Acts. So go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I have a sermonette that's going to be very brief, and I want to share a few things. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. And the last few weeks, truthfully, do you remember I shared, before we do anything with Acts, Acts 13, as it says, as they prayed and fasted, they ministered to the Lord, and as they ministered to the Lord sent them out into the missionary journey. So this is the start of anything missionary, the start of anything ministry-wise the church does. Our primary core and our primary focus should be ministry to God. Amen? And we also spoke on all that Jesus began to do and teach. It's not just enough to teach. And I said, in my own life, I'm not satisfied with just knowing the right things, right? I can know and stick my chest out. I believe in healing. Bless God. But if I'm not laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, it's just doctrine. Doctrine's good. And I love doctrine. I just read doctrine books all day. But I have to do it as well. There has to be an expression in my life. Amen? Okay, I can teach all I want, but I have to do it or else I'm missing. I'll choose to do and teach. So here, and we spoke last week on tongues, and Michael, I actually referred, because you mentioned to me Mark 16, the Great Commission, and he says they will speak in new tongues. And the first thing that happened when the Holy Spirit fell is they spoke in new tongues, and we spoke about our prayer language. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy.'" I'm going to stop right there. Let me give you just a quick sermonette. Two things. One, I love this because as soon as the Spirit of God fell, there's a spiritual outpouring. What did the man of God do? He took him to the Word of God. Okay? And so, what's going on in the Spirit? I have to explain it with the Scriptures. And I remember Smith Wigglesworth, and he prophesied the last great move of God. There's going to be a combination between the Word and the Spirit. And I always say, all spirits blow up, all word you dry up. When you put them together, you go up. Okay? And so I have to have spirit and the word. So that's a good thing. But my sermon is this, and it kind of goes along with what you said, Sharon, this morning. There's one place in particular I was, and if the preacher opened his Bible on the way to the pulpit, then he did too much preparing, and he wasn't following the Spirit. And there's other people who just will study for 24 hours a week and to prepare. And so you get this thing, oh brother, you just have to let it flow from what's inside. Let me say this. I want to combine both of those things together and say something. Peter, do you think he prepared? I question whether Peter woke up that morning and said, the Holy Spirit's going to fall out, we're going to speak in tongues, I'm going to preach a sermon, go to the book of Joel, and I'm going to see 3,000 folks saved. I don't know that he woke up that way. Yet, if you look at what he preached, it was a great, well-prepared sermon. Okay? And actually, in verse 40, it says, with many other words he spoke. So it was just a part of it. So he didn't prepare, yet he was prepared. How was that? And I remember when I was in Bible school, there was a teacher I liked, and he was quite the preacher, Warren. And he preached a message in chapel one day, and I said, I didn't know any better. I said, Warren, I said, how long did you study for that, man? That was really good. And he looked at me and said, about 8 years. And what he was saying was this: you prepare your life. And so I believe I had ministry said, if you don't prepare, God won't move. My philosophy is you prepare, but you're open to the Spirit moving. But anytime you minister, I don't care if it's behind a pulpit, it's in a prison, whether it's on the job, anytime you minister, you're ministering your life. What the Lord's done in you, the Lord is within you. And so it's important that we take good care and we prepare that. That's why we say, do not despise the day of small things. Each and every day is very important. And oftentimes, and I've been guilty of it myself, and we wait for the big stuff. And I'll be ready when the big, and I'll do this. But there's little things day by day by day. And as we follow, you know, I've found since I've been here, and I'm ministering the word every week, it can be tough, but I realize, wow, Lord, you've been preparing my life. And so there's rich deposits. It's important that each day, pray in the Spirit, right? Go to the Word. Learn from other people, right? And I'm building, so I'm ready in season and out of season, right? And so that's where it can come up, like Sharon was saying this morning, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to speak, or I didn't know there's going to be people praying in tongues. I may not have prepared, but I've prepared, right? Peter may not have prepared. I always like it.
Let me say this too. Sometimes when we have big decisions in life, it's important to set aside time to really seek the Lord. But I heard Bill Johnson say this one time, and I think it's true. It's true with me. There's times when I have decisions facing me, and I don't have to say, okay, now I need to go pray and fast for 21 days before I make the decision. There's sometimes that can be good. But I'll say this. If you live a life of that, if you live a life of going to God and being connected with Him, however that is, okay, the Lord just, He will lead you. That doesn't mean you might not have time to take, I need to take a few days, because there's sometimes you need that. But it's living by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit rather than just, oh, now this is coming up, so now I need to do this, right? I would rather be doing it all along than just wait till the big event comes and then, oh man, I'm in trouble. Give me 3 weeks to prepare. Well, I've been preparing for 3 months, right? Okay? Does that make sense? It's a preparation. I love this about Peter. I don't think he woke up in the morning with this on his heart, yet he gave a masterful sermon. Quoted Scripture. How do you quote Scripture if you don't know it? If you never read it, how would he know it? How could he explain what was going on if he not had time when the Lord was speaking to him? Amen? So that's for all of us, really. Each and every day, because I never know who I'm going to encounter a week from now that might have the very thing that the Lord's doing in me right now. All right? Don't waste. Who is it? There's a famous leader who said, don't waste a crisis, I think it is. Is it Churchill? I always say this. If something's going wrong in your life, and it's lousy, or it's a crisis, or this. I was listening to someone, it was a guy named Wayne Cordero. Pastor's out in Hawaii, nice place to serve, right? And Honolulu. And he says when I make a mistake, he says I squeeze it every bit out of it I can, so I can learn as much as I can. Don't waste a mistake. Don't waste a crisis. Don't waste a problem. Don't waste good things either. And just recognize that throughout it. Okay, Lord, you're growing me. You're building me. You're developing me. And maybe there's someone a week from now I'm going to encounter that if I just cast this aside, I don't want to deal with it. They might be in lack, and the Lord says, you know what, James, you didn't prepare, so Ann, you do the job, right? Amen? Okay. Let me give you a condensed version of what I want to share this morning. And it's a little different. I'm going to speak more from my own walk and experience with the Lord in some areas. Because it says in here, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Men servants and maid servants. Christ was neither Jew nor Greek. As in the body of Christ, we're a family, right? And I always think, you know, it says in here, your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall dream, see visions. So what do we do for the folks who are in the middle, right? or the older in years, but they're younger in heart. Okay, and the original translation or the original text would actually read better. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on the manservants and maidservants, and on the young and on the old. They shall dream and prophesy. Okay, we should be praying in tongues, but as a Spirit-filled new covenant believer, I should also be prophesying. I should be having dreams, and I should be having visions. Right?
Amen.
I'm going to give you some background to this, and it's not to bore you to death.
My heart is to show you, and I've talked about this before. I grew up, I love Brad because Brad was brand new to the faith a few years ago. And as someone for me, I've been saved in spirit still from a little time, a little boy, so I can just read over stuff. And I can read the book of Acts, for example, and just read over it. And I don't stop and think, oh, wow, this is important. You know, I've read this. I know how it ends, so I just kind of skim over it. Okay, unless I'm studying for something. But it's important. Sometimes we miss stuff because I read over it, because I might know the end of the story and I miss the nuggets that are there. This should be normal Christianity for us as New Covenant believers, right? It should be normal. It should be a natural part of my life, okay? Just a few things. I'm going to give you a very brief definition, and I want to speak to how the Lord speaks to us in our own life. I spoke out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 last week about tongues, if you remember. Praying tongues. I edify myself. I totally build myself up. I speak mysteries. I talk about how if I read the same chapter 7 times and don't know what it says, take some time and just go pray in the Spirit. Right? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit because I'm connecting myself. I'm connecting my spirit with the Lord. But it says in verse 14:3, it says, "He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." I'm going to leave it simple as that. You can have the office of the prophet. You can have a prophetic ministry, but simple prophecy everyone can do. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. And it says, earnestly desire to prophesy. And Thessalonians says, do not despise prophecies. Okay? I'm going to share a little bit about that in a minute. Dreams and visions. I heard someone say, I know you're going to be here. The dream guy. A dream is an awake vision, and a dream is a sleepy vision, and a vision is an awake dream. But the Lord, do you know the Lord spoke often in the Scriptures to people and gave direction through dreams and visions? Quite a bit, actually. And that's something else that we can just read over in the Scriptures, and we cast it off as, that's just it. He spoke often. Let me just give you a few scriptural examples, not to bore you to death, but to show you this is normal Christianity. Then I just want to speak from my heart on a few things. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 28, it says, "In those days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit there's going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." Do you remember when I spoke on being generous people? I have a heart of generosity, and I love it here. When they heard there was going to be a famine, instead of hoarding things, they took up an offering. The next two verses. Remember that? Amen. I have a generous spirit. Acts 13, verse 1 through 4, I've already shared on that, how they ministered to the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart these men for the work that I've called them to." In Acts chapter 21, I'm rolling through this just to give them to you, not so you can turn there unless you just really want to. It says the prophet, the evangelist Philip, he had 4 daughters who prophesied, right? I was listening. I told my wife, I was grieved in my spirit. I was listening. Don't ask me how or where, but it was a business meeting from a church. No one knows where it is. It wasn't around here. 4 daughters prophesied, okay? And sometimes we like to put women to the side in the church. I should preach on that one day. That's wrong. It's not scriptural. 4 daughters prophesied on your men servants and on your maid servants, right? In Christ, there's neither male nor female. And it goes on and says prophetic warnings were also given in Acts chapter 20. Paul said that each town he went into, the Holy Spirit shared, you're going to be bound in chains. So basically everywhere Paul went, there's a consistent prophetic word that went out over him. You're going to be in chains, okay? Just a few things on dreams. If you remember Jacob's ladder, remember that he saw the dream? Joseph had a destiny dream and he shared it. Just a quick nugget. Don't always share the secrets of your heart with those who don't have your heart. Joseph got in trouble because he shared something with people he shouldn't share it with, and he got him in trouble. If the Lord gives you something in your life, or he speaks something profound, sometimes that's not always to share with everyone. Okay, maybe sometimes that's for you to sit and wait. The Lord will unfold it. I'm just breezing through this right now. Paul also spoke in Acts In 16:9, Paul was also led through dreams and visions. It said in the Macedonian call, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night," it was a dream, "and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia." So how one way Paul was led, he had a dream, right? Normal Christianity, right? Some people, it's either all important or not important at all. The Lord speaks this way, okay? 16:9 through 10. There's also 18:9 through 11. This is my last one. I'm going to share a couple other things. Paul also, when he was in Corinth, he said that the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision and says, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in the city." And after that, he says, "Stay there for a year and 6 months teaching the word of God." So Paul himself wrote a lot of the New Testament. He was, the Lord used and spoke to him in dreams and visions, right?
Amen.
Okay. We all, as New Covenant believers, have dreams, visions, and prophesy. Here's what I want to say. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, it's the heart of God, or it's the nature of God to speak to us. Okay? It's the heart and it's the nature of God to speak to us. You can't prophesy to someone if I'm not hearing from the Lord. Alright? I'm not going to be open to dreams and visions and seeing. I'll just breeze through that if I'm not open to hearing from the Lord. And I can't hear from the Lord. God wants to speak to us. And this is a review for some of you. It's a refreshing or a rehearsal for some of you, but some of you don't know this, okay? And I'm aware of that. And I'm speaking to you mainly. Sometimes we look for God in the big, huge, thunderous voices, or God can only speak to me audibly, right? And I want to challenge you. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? So remember I spoke last week, when you pray in the spirit, it builds up your spirit, man, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the spirit. You pray in the spirit, you edify yourself, your spirit man who's in here. This is where I have communication with God, okay? Key to everything is relationship, okay? If I'm in connection with the Lord, I spend time with Him, I know His word, I know His heart, it's a lot easier for my spirit man to hear from the Lord, okay?
Amen.
And I can hear, I can pick up things a lot easier because I'm already connected with Him, okay? Sometimes we miss it because we wait for a big booming voice, okay? And we wait for something. There's a passage that Jesus said in John 10:27. He says, "My sheep know my voice," right? Not "they should" or "they might." "My sheep know my voice." And as believers, it's important that we hear from the Lord. There's a passage in 1 Kings 19:11-12. And it says, then he's talking about Elisha. He said, "Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not the fire. And after that, a still small voice." I had another Bible school example, a teacher in Bible school, and he said this, and I want you to hear this. He was actually teaching on the book of Acts. He was a guest teacher. I loved him. Dr. Buskey from Florida. He says, if God has to speak to me audibly, it's the lowest form of communication He can give to me. If the only way I can hear from Him is if I have to hear a loud, audible voice saying, "Boy, go here, do this, do that," it means that in my spirit, I'm not really connected with the Lord to hear Him, right? Okay? Alright? And how do we know I'm hearing the Lord? What if it's a false thing? Weigh it with the Scripture, like I've already said. But we've talked about counterfeit money, and I've always heard of this, that the guys who study counterfeit money, they study the real money. And they know the real money so well that when a false dollar comes through, it's just, "Oh, I can see that."
Amen.
Why? Because I know the real. I know the real. Or if I have any doubts, go to the Scriptures. I've always shared, Walter Butler would say, you know, if I've had an encounter and experience with God, I'll never teach on it unless the Lord, you show it to me in the Bible. Okay? go back to the Word, you go to other people, but the Lord will speak to you that way. It's like a radio frequency. And so if I'm a bit of a, I don't know if you call it sentimentalist or what, I like to do things over and over. So I always come here on Saturday afternoons, and I always listen to the same sports radio show on the way here from 12:30. And I had my own CD in yesterday. I was listening to something, and I said, I haven't listened to my radio show. I was driving. I have to listen to my radio show just for a minute. So I turn it on for just a minute so I could hear it. Okay, so it's a radio. Now, here's what I want to say. That radio show is always playing, right? 103.7. Always going on. But unless I turn the dial, turn it on, and turn it 103.7, I couldn't hear it. All right? And so you can look at it kind of like the Lord. The Lord's desires to speak to you. He wants to communicate. He wants to be in communion. But if I haven't turned on to the station, I might be listening to something else. It doesn't mean He's not speaking. It's just my antennas might be over here, right? Or I could be on a different radio station. I'm not hearing the sports radio. Turn it to the station where He is. I'm going to talk about that some more in a minute and give some examples, okay? Amen. Is this making sense?
Amen.
The Lord has to just speak audibly. It's a lesser thing. Let me say this. I'm going to give some examples of how we hear the Lord, just from my own life, from the Scriptures as well. And I promise you, I won't keep you terribly long. But I know for a fact there's some people who need to hear this. I know it. Have you ever heard saying, when you're with someone, like, yeah, there's a witness to that. He speaks to us through a witness, right? So there's been times in my life where I've gone and I said, I think the Lord's saying this to me. I'm in prayer with the Lord. I'm seeking Him. He keeps putting something in my spirit. He keeps putting something in my heart. Let me encourage you with this. Chris Valentin had this little 5-minute clip. I love it. It's called God Told Me. And he gives a funny little story. But let me just say this. In our hearts, we know in part and we prophesy in part, right? I don't have all the answers, neither do you. Remember, that's how we pray with understanding. We also pray with the Spirit, because I don't always know how to pray, right? If you feel the Lord's given something to you, if you feel like the Lord has spoken something to your heart, have an attitude and a heart of humility and go to someone and say, this is what I do. The Lord's speaking this to me. Find someone you're accountable to in your life. James, I think the Lord's saying this to me. I want you to pray about it with me. Can you pray? See if you get a witness to that. Someone the Lord's put in your life. Go to the Scriptures. Lord, is this in the Scripture? Am I acting according? And sometimes, remember I shared how this is everything. I've given the example several times about how I had the option of two different jobs. And I couldn't go to the Bible and say, take work at Centerra over Cox Cable. So there's a passage in Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Remember that? So where's that? I would go to my wife. I can't go to the Bible and find work at Centerra, Romans chapter 1. But I pray about it. Lord, I do it. So the Lord, I don't hear an audible voice, but He speaks in my spirit. And I talk to my wife, because this is a family thing. Where do I work? We both talk. I don't know. I just feel such a peace about working at Centerra. It pays less, but there's such a peace there. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, right? If you're ever going to make a decision and there's uneasiness within you and tension, pause for the cause. Pray a little more. Seek someone out for counsel. And don't just go and say, James, God told me this. I don't care if this is what God told me. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, right? And it's important as a people who hear from God, we're prophetic in our way, that there's a humility about us as well. And I recognize I can hear it wrong. If I have a big decision to make, I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on it. If I have a big decision to make, I have a few people in my life I'm going to go to. Hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I'm praying. I feel this in my heart. I feel this in my spirit. God's speaking to me. And sometimes there's a witness. When I say there's a witness, have you ever felt something like when you say something, just, yes, it's just, it bubbles up in here? It's called a witness of His power. The Lord speaks to us. Amen? It's one way He speaks to us, okay? All right? Some of you know this, some of you don't, okay? I was reading, it was Andrew Womack, Phil, and he was sharing about he had to go to Costa Rica. He was getting ready to be on the airplane to go to Costa Rica. And all of a sudden, it's like, I just shouldn't go on here. Just got this uneasiness, and I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this. Uneasiness, uneasiness. He never heard an audible voice saying, don't get on there. It was, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this. He didn't get on the airplane. The plane crashed. Everyone on board died, right? It's important to be in tune. Pray in the Spirit. Connect yourself with the Lord. And your God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If I'm connected with Him, He's going to speak to me. I'm going to know. There's times in my life, don't go in that store. I start to go. It's just uneasiness. Uneasiness. Don't go in that store. Uneasiness. Uneasiness. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's a very important way to hear from the Lord. Amen? Okay. When you give... Okay. Let me do this. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. One of my favorite prayers to pray is this. Lord, put your desires within my heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. There's times in my life where the Lord's put something inside of me, and He's kind of driven me by my spirit because of something He's put in there. Does that make sense? Right? And I say, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, take you out of my heart. Take you out of my heart. And I pray that He replaces my desires with His desires. Delight your desires in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I want the desires of my heart to be His desires, right? And I talk about this. Sometimes we can pound the Lord so much. And I had another teacher in Bible school. He said, sometimes the worst thing God can do is give us what we want. Have you ever asked for something? I said this last week. And I ask and I do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. But I always have this thing, Lord, if you don't want to, just... And a year or two later, I was like, thank you, Lord, for not doing that. And that's why it's important to pray in the Spirit, right? Speak mysteries. I don't always have the answers. I don't always know how to pray. So if I don't know how to pray, just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And He fills me with His desires, okay? Me coming to New England, for example, it's not a natural thing. I just wanted to do for an adventure, right? And I prayed often. I said, Lord, take this out of me. It's just not what you want. Take it out of me, take it out of me, take it out of me, take it out of me. But He put a desire in me, and He got me here. How the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me through a desire He put in. Delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. It wasn't a natural desire that I just should have wanted, right? I should want to stay home and eat my fried chicken and watch my... But He put this thing in me. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Again, delight yourself in the Lord means I have an up-to-date relationship with God. I can't stress that enough. If my spirit's not in tune, if I'm not connected, I had a teacher in Bible school. I'm doing that a lot today for some reason. Her name was Wendy. She was a prayer teacher, a real intercessor. She would always equate it. She's like an antenna. And she said, your antenna can be up here, hearing all sorts of signals in the realm of the spirit. Okay? And it's important, once again, that I'm connected to the right station. Okay? I'm connected. If I'm connected to Him, I'm going to hear Him. I'm going to know the truth from the false. Okay? It takes a life of walking with God. All right? A few more examples for you. Do you know the Lord can also speak to us? Just a few things. I mentioned scriptures. Let me challenge you. Do you have a scripture in the Bible that's yours? Basically, it's like, this is mine, and you can't read it because that belongs to me, right? This is my scripture. I have one, and it's, someone prophesied to me years ago, I will never leave nor forsake, and that word stayed with me in a trying time in my life, and I always go back to that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I kind of graduated from living, being under my parents' roof and became an adult myself, sometimes I can put fear in you, and you're like, oh, I have responsibility now. So there's that verse in Psalms, my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I remember reading that one day, and the Lord said, you know what? I'm your father. Look to me. Okay? It's just something that in my own time, my own life was real to me. I read a scripture, and it spoke to me. Right? There's a story that just came to mind. It was, I think he was an atheist, and he wanted to find truth, and so he took passages out of every religious book he could find and made it be what he wanted it to be. And he said, I looked it up a few years later and it was stale. And someone gave him the Bible. I think it was a copy of the New Testament. And he said, the Bible was the first book that read me. He said, I didn't read it. He said, that book was speaking to me. Where I was, it was putting things in my heart. I want to read the Bible that way, where it speaks to me, where it's real, where I can tear up like Bob did a few weeks ago when I read it, because it's so real to me. God speaks through His Word, does He not? I have to be in His Word to know it. The Lord also speaks through circumstances in our life. Remember Jonah, for example, in the Scriptures, I'm not going there. It's falling. It's, yes, you are. the burning bush. And it's always good. Let me just go back to this. If you feel, for example, for decisions in your life, especially big ones, I'm big on this. It needs to bear witness, and you need to really have counsel with others. I do it in my life, or I wouldn't tell you to do it, but it's important. And I value that. I think the Lord's saying this to me. But the Lord can speak through circumstances and situations in our life. One that happened here, and I'm going to find a passage of Scripture. I was thinking of this. I'd forgotten about it. I had spoken to Jim Mott about doing the men's ministry here a couple years ago. I talked to my office, and we came out. He said, I'll pray about it. And we came out. I knew he should do it. And Sharon met us. She's walking, oh, where's Jim been leading his men's meeting? It's like, you pray about it, right? And sometimes the Lord can just use even natural things like, oh, okay, Lord, you're really giving me from all different angles. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians, two passages, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. It says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let me say this. Sometimes God works through us through open and closed doors, right? I've seen a lot of closed doors in my life. Have you? I've seen some open ones. But sometimes, okay, Lord, you're closing that door. Sometimes if He's opened a door, but there are great many adversaries. Sometimes if the Lord opens a door for you, and again, this comes through relationship with the Lord. It comes through counsel. It comes through the Word of God, inner witness. But if the Lord opens a door for you, sometimes the great many adversaries there, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go through the door, right? Try doing something for the Brad had a tough time getting into the prisons, right? Different things. Just sometimes there's just different things that will come up, and maybe that's a sign that you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? The enemy's not pleased with where you're going. The enemy's not pleased with how you're moving and thanking the Lord. It doesn't mean sometimes we can be, myself included, can just be wusses. And I walk through a door, and I get smacked a little bit. I don't want anything to do with that. Maybe you didn't do it. Sometimes that is, okay? But there's another way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. I'm going to tell you a story, okay? It says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking leave of them, I departed from Macedonia. In my own life, let me share this story. I'm going to wrap up, because I've been longer than I wanted to. That verse is another verse that's kind of like a life verse for me. And when I had the season I was in Virginia, this is when I knew I was supposed to be in New England. I knew I was supposed to be up here pastoring. And just closed door after closed door after closed door. And I remember I was working with a company. I'd left them. And then about a year later, they called me back and they wanted me to take a management position. So for me, I was like, Lord, the New England, the pastor thing is not working. It's just a closed door. It's not you. I'm going to make as much money as I can. And I remember I went and I accepted this job. I was like, yes, the door is open. God opened this door. I'm going to be able to provide more for my family, do more things. And right before I left, the company I was in, I met a guy who was instrumental in getting me up here. He talked to me. He said, Clay, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be in New England. Yes, okay. And I just walked around. And I took that job. And I can't describe it. I got there and I couldn't do it. And it wasn't that it was too hard. It was just like in my spirit, everything screamed no, 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 no. I was absolutely, unbelievably miserable. And my friend sent me this text where he called me something. He gave me this verse. He says, when I came to Troas to preach, a door was open to me, but I had no rest in my spirit. Sometimes I can walk through an open door. The Lord can still use that. He uses all things. And so I remember I walked through the door. I read that and it gave me such great relief. But there was no rest in my spirit. And the Lord used that. And I remember driving home and I said, Lord, if if I have to quit this and go take the lousy pay I had and just continue with the nursing home, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care. I can't do this. And it was shortly after that the Lord opened this for me to go up here. Why do I say that? It's an example of how the Lord works in our life, right? Open doors, sometimes we go through and we say there's an open door and there's some punching that's going on. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Sometimes there's open doors in our life and it might be an open door, but it might not be the one you're supposed to go through. And if you do go through it, have enough, and you get beaten and punched because that happens to all of us, the Lord can still use it for good in your life. But have the humility to say, maybe I should walk through that door. I take my lesson I'm learning. I'm going to grow from it. But Lord, I need to go back. Just because it's an open door doesn't mean I walk through it, right? Again, it's learning to hear from the Lord. It's learning, it's being in communication and dialogue. I'm going to close with this. Keeping your pipes clean, your spiritual pipes clean. God spoke to me in a dream one time, and there's a show I like, or used to watch it. It's not horrible at all. It was some time ago. It was my sense of humor. I thought it was hilarious. And sometimes I would watch it, and I would get these little checks in me, and I just ignored it, and I ignored it, and I ignored it. And one time the Lord gave me a dream at night, and I was like in absolute filth, like came out of a sewer, and the people in the show were right there, and I woke up, and the Lord said, you're bathing yourself with filth, stop it. And I can't watch it anymore. Now, I have a choice there. I could say, and it wasn't anything ridiculous, I say, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. If you have a vision to your life, there's going to be restraints, naturally, that come from the Lord, okay? There's certain things that I don't think are sin, but I can't do it because the Lord restrains me, okay? Maybe for me it's going to clog up my connection with Him, okay? This is important for someone. I feel it in my spirit. If there's a connection, maybe it's not an outright blatant sin, but maybe the Lord says, that's not for you, man. Don't do it. It's clogging our connection. It's clogging it. Okay? It's like a seared conscience. I continue to do it. Eventually it doesn't bother me anymore, and I've got a faulty... the radio station, instead of being clear, it's starting to be static. Okay, and I can't hear, and I get to the point I don't care anymore, right? It's keeping your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart, okay? There's a story. There's a man of God I like in South Africa. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he shared, and I'm going to close with this in one other verse. He shared that he had a real prophetic ministry, wonderful ministry in South Africa. His sons have taken it over since he passed. But he was sharing, he had to preach in a pastor's conference. And he was there, and he said, he was in a city where his wife's family was. He was with his in-laws. He had this huge home. He said the bathroom was like bigger than people's houses. And he said, I was just enjoying it. I finished in the bathroom and just made a mess of it. And the Lord said, go pick up that towel and clean up after yourself. He said, well, no, there's a housekeeper here. They have a housekeeper. My wife can do it. They can do it. I'm a man of God. I got to go to the church and pray. I got to get the heart of the Lord for a night. They can do it. He says, I went to open the door, and the Lord said, if you walk out that door, I'm not going to speak to you. He said, okay. And he went. He said, I got that towel, and that place was spick and span, spotless. He said, I can do this. He said that night when he went to that meeting, he said, the Lord spoke to him so clearly. He said, I was giving people words, telling them, this is what you said to your wife. If the man... you'll get a word, you're going to drop out of the ministry. Doing things like this to people with a bunch of... And he says, after the meeting, they're like, quit beside you, dude. How are you hearing so clearly? He says, you want to know? He says, I'm hearing so clearly because I picked up a towel and cleaned the bathroom. Keeping your spirit. It's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? God asked me to pick up something off the floor there. It's important that I do it. Keep my pipes clean, right? There's something I'm doing that may not be an outright sin. And the Lord starts to deal with your heart. That's not for you. Stop it. You can keep doing it if you want, but your pipe's going to be staticky, and you might not hear as clearly. Okay, I'm going to close with the verse so we can be the Lord's spokesman again. I love this verse. It's Isaiah 50, chapter 50, verse 4. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. to hear as the learned. Revelation only says the eyes to see and ears to hear. If you remember Solomon, the Lord visited him in a dream. He said, give your servant a hearing heart, a hearing ear. One of my prayers, Lord, give me a hearing ear that I can hear what you're saying. The Lord's given me the tongue of the learned. Would you like to have a tongue of the learned? To know how to speak a word in season to those who are weary. Whether you're in the prison and someone needs you, whether you're at Stop and Shop and there's someone, it's always, what if you have a word, someone's thinking about committing suicide, for example, and there's something, there's a story, they're at a prophetic conference and they're in a group and someone said, you have a yellow shirt on, and that was the only thing they got from the Lord. And like, what is that? And the lady broke down in tears, crying, and she said, before I came here today, I told the Lord, if someone says I have a yellow shirt on, that's how the Lord spoke to that I was going to heal her son of autism. You just never know, but I have to keep my pipes clean. He awakens me morning by morning to hear as I learn, so I can hear and be God's spokesman. What's Acts chapter 2, this part all about, that they'll prophesy, that they'll see your visions and dreams. It's not just for mine. Remember, tongues are for edification. Prophecies for edifying, which are edifying the body of Christ. I can speak the word here. I can speak the word out of there. But I keep the pipes clean. Lord, give me a hearing ear that I can hear and that I can know. Okay? One of the greatest joys you'll find in life is when you're walking with the Lord. Like I said, it's an adventure. It's fun. And when the Lord puts something on your heart, tell James something today. And you say it. It's like, man, has anyone ever said something to you and you needed it? Do you know I've overheard someone saying something before? They didn't know I was listening and I needed to hear it. I've gotten gifts from people before at times when I needed it. And God used those to speak to me when I needed it. And I hear from the Lord. Someone hears and they do something and it blesses me. And I said, Lord, bless that person. Thank you. Because they kept their pipes clean. Their radio station was turned on. They heard from the Lord, and I needed it, man. Something I needed, right? So I pray in tongues. I edify myself. I build myself up. I speak mysteries to God. But I'm also praying in tongues, great. I should also be prophesying. Some of you maybe here haven't prophesied in years, and you need to, because there's something inside of you for some of us. When you go to sleep at night, I say, Lord, I give you my dreams. I give you my dreams. Write them down, okay? Pray about them. Find someone who can help you interpret them. What does this mean? Lord, are you speaking to me this way? Be visions, Lord. You're giving me pictures as I go out. When I'm seeing something. I've seen things before. What's going on here? Phil, it's keeping your pipes clean. It's keeping your spirit open to the Lord. It's staying in relationship with God. And it's allowing Him to use you, right? Morning by morning. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Lord, I know in your heart, Lord, you spoke and you worked in lives this morning. I know that, Father. Lord, give us the tongue of the learned. Lord, awaken our ears, Lord, for each and every one of us in here. Lord, that we would hear you clearly, Lord. If there's something that's blocking the channel in our lives, did I feel that strongly? Lord, that you would just speak to us in your own gentle way, Holy Spirit. This is not for you. That's not right. Stop it. Lord, give us a hunger to hear you, Father. Lord, give us a prayer that you would open our ears, Lord. Lord, speak to us in the night seasons of our life, Lord. Speak to us in the day, Father. Lord, give us visions and prophetic words and prophecies to people to build up your body and build up the people. So we just thank you, we honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you all. For those